This teaching is designed to break the spell of how things appear to be. We say sunrise and sunset, but the sun does not rise and nor does it set. Yet we say it because it appears like that. We think of the other as one person, but that one person is actually made up of billions of cells. Many organs, many nerves, many neurons, many synapses, but we say this is one person. That is the spell. So when the understanding is that all there is consciousness, and you start viewing life through that prism, the spell starts breaking. Because the biggest hold it has is the sense of doership. He did this to me. The words of the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same it was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. Without Him was not made anything that was made. Which means, all there is consciousness. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, which is the light of consciousness, without which we would be dead bodies. What we have common here is we are all conscious. So it is consciousness speaking and consciousness listening. If there were two dead bodies here, neither would speaking happen nor listening would happen. But that is taken for granted. That is the spell we are under. And therefore, the deepest understanding is, can consciousness really hate itself? So when one lives with this understanding, one's reactions start changing, to people especially, in our relationships. It cannot be that you have this understanding and there's no change in your relationships. There's someone who's been familiar with this teaching for years. He's about 32, 33 now. And he said that he has a practice now. It's very nice and simple. He says, every time the thought arises that so-and-so said this to me, he erases the to me part. So-and-so said this. He replaces the to me with just so-and-so said this. This happened to me? No, this happened. So that constant pulling into the center of the me and mine, me and my story, me and the world this did to me, what others did to me, that starts relaxing. So your grip, which was so me-centric, starts opening up. So look at your day and how many times you refer to me and my story. Why is my life difficult? What have I done wrong? Why does this person bother me? How many times do you think of the word me? Leave alone, say it. Become aware of that. And that is why Nisargadatta Maharaj had said that instead of saying, I see something and I hear something, change it to something is seen and something is heard. So what happens is, living this way, the core of the me, which is its sense of doership, starts breaking apart. The narrow, concentrated, encrusted me starts loosening up. That is the gift of the teaching. One starts surrendering to what is without pointing fingers. Because if you have the understanding that all there is consciousness, this will stop. I like this person more. I don't like that person because of what she said. Or blaming myself because I did this. Or hating myself. Or hating others. Or condemning others. The people who give us pain in our lives are themselves suffering. How do we know what they went through in childhood, how their parents treated them, how society treated them? What makes them say what they say, do what they do? Why are people mean to others? Because they don't want to get hurt. Because they love themselves. It appears that they are mean to others, but why are they mean to others? They want to protect themselves. They want to love themselves. They feel threatened by the other. Therefore, they are mean to the other. This is what you start seeing in your life. An acceptance of what is starts happening more and more. Accepting people for the way God made them. Accepting yourself for the way God made you. That is called surrender. Not a surrender that I want to surrender. Oh God, life is so hard on me, I surrender. Is it in your choice to surrender? Surrender is the acceptance of what is as it is. I was reading a book on Egyptian symbols and hieroglyphs. You know the carvings of their language on the walls in Egypt? They had a very beautiful symbol for surrender, which we are all familiar with, which is this. And our interpretation is this means, like, you know, the cops when they say surrender and your hands are free so that they can see your hands, maybe at one level. But the Egyptians, this was their symbol to indicate above the mind. The hands are above the mind, the higher surrender. Because if you come with nothing into life and you go with nothing, what is yours to surrender? Is anything really yours? I don't know if it's true, but one of the legends of Alexander is when he was dying, he told his people that when I die, I want my hands left open. Because I who conquered so much of land, I'm going with nothing. Even your knowledge is not your own. It has come from somewhere. Someone from Europe sent me a mail about 3 months ago saying, give me a mantra. So I said, there's no mantra to give here. It is the understanding. My own teacher never gave mantras. His teacher did to some who were inclined to do mantra jap. But here it is the understanding which becomes the mantra because it becomes lived as one's experience. But he kept insisting. He said, give me a mantra. Every email, give me a mantra. So I said, all right. No soham, hamsa, nothing. I said, the mantra I have to give you is, don't be silly. I said, whenever during the course of the day a thought comes of blaming someone, tell yourself, don't be silly. When the thought comes of blaming yourself, tell yourself, don't be silly. When you want to condemn someone, tell yourself, don't be silly. And you will be surprised as to how many times a day you will start chanting this mantra. Because you will realize automatically that everyone says, thinks, feels, hears based on their genetics, their conditioning, and how God has made them. So all these thoughts which used to come up earlier, you realize when you keep looking at things, you know, that my God, what am I doing inside here? I'm blaming someone for something they are supposed to have done. And first he thought I was joking, but he said, not that he has to chant it, but the thought keeps coming up now. You know, whenever the mind goes into a certain pathway, immediately the involvement snaps. And the idea of a mantra is to cut off the involvement. Freeing the mind, mantra, which is freeing the thinking mind. The traditional mantras with the breath, the in-breath and out-breath, the task was the same. Because the focus is shifting to the breath. But what are we repeating throughout the day in our minds? This becomes a torch which now shines light on what's happening inside the mind. More like a floodlight than a torch. And then you realize that so much of your mind has freed up now from all that unnecessary thinking. I was reading this book called A Course in Miracles, and I underlined some lines which I'll read out, very close to this teaching. In fact, I would say it's the same thing, but expressed in a different culture and in a different way. Is it not he who knows the way to you? You need not know the way to him. Your part is simply to allow all obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. And that is what we are doing. We are removing the obstacles created by the thinking mind. God knows his Son and knows the way to him. He does not need his Son to show him how to find his way, which is what we do. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. So when the thinking mind is no longer going into a dead past or an imaginary future, you are empty. And when you stop blaming the world and God and people and yourself, you are empty. Sit quietly and close your eyes. The light within you is sufficient. It alone has power to give the gift of sight to you. Exclude the outer world and let your thoughts fly to the peace within. They know the way. For honest thoughts, untainted by the dream of worldly things outside yourself, become the holy messengers of God Himself. Which means abide in your sense of being, which will happen automatically. Because one becomes comfortable with oneself and one becomes comfortable with others. Because you accept yourself for who you are, you accept others for how God made them. So one starts resting in this light of consciousness, of being present. There are two ways to walk down the street. One is with an engaged mind. You're just walking blindly, just looking at the car so that you don't get run over. And the other is with a still thinking mind, which is not going this way and this way. When you are walking with presence, not by doing effort to be present, but with the understanding that the thinking mind is now disengaged. You can even feel it here right now. Some force greater than you has brought you here. Otherwise, you could not be here. And all it asks is to trust it. Because it only means well for you. Because it does not consider you apart from itself. So it means well for you because it means well for itself. That is the nature of love. Not a person-based love. Not a selective love. That is what it means to be well-meaning. To mean well. The gift of a still mind is underrated. We want miracles. We get impressed by what miracles we see people do, what experiences we have. One's presence is so sacred because the light is allowed to shine. What could be more holy than that? You know why holy places have water around them? Like the Golden Temple has a body of water around it. Many holy places have water because water retains the vibrations. All the chanting in the temples, water holds them. Why do we recite a mantra and then put water, you know, on the priest sprinkles water on everyone, and our body is more than 70% water. So what is the vibration the body is holding? Is it a vibration of separation, or is it a vibration of the absence of separation? That is why my master, one of his famous quotes was, love is the absence of separation and separation is the absence of love. The sun does not shine selectively on some people and not on others. It is its nature to shine. And that is what happens, because with the light of consciousness, one develops an even vision. You look upon everything around you, whatever is happening, with this light of even vision. All the gradations you made, all the hierarchy you made of people in your life, of things in your life, that starts breaking down. To some it sounds very dangerous, because what is me and mine starts getting shaken up at the core. But it is the greatest gift. Then you recognize that wherever you are in life, you are standing on a firm foundation of peace. As my teacher had a phrase, like a large immovable rock, that becomes your foundation. And the younger you are when you have a sense of it, the better it is for you. Yes, Roshni? Gajanan Maharaj. Where do you stay? Where have you come from? Andhir. So Dipesh, does it make sense? Yes. Yes. See, the thinking mind, to be very clear, is, which I use an example very often, which my teacher also used. When a surgeon is operating, what is happening is his working mind is being used, because all his experience of the years is going into the operation. That is the working mind. Any work you are engaged in, whatever is your nature of work, is the working mind. Okay? But now when the surgeon is told that this is a very influential politician, and God help you if something goes wrong, and while operating, he starts thinking, my God, what would happen if something goes wrong? What will happen to me? What will happen to my reputation if I do something as a result of which the operation doesn't go well? That is the thinking mind. So when we are walking down the street, the voice in our heads, which keeps going on as if automatically, is by and large the thinking mind. Because supposing we go to work and then we sit down, whatever is our work, then we find that if we have something to focus on, that becomes the working mind. But But one has to be very careful with this, because I think I've given this example before. A very bright young man had come here, and he said he has such an active thinking mind that in order for it not to be active, he plays video games throughout the day, so his working mind is engaged, which actually means the core of the problem is not addressed, which is whether it is a thinking mind or the working mind. To be constantly engaged means the mind is constantly engaged. That abiding in the beingness, in the presence, the stillness, that has not happened. Because one is so used to being engaged constantly, that is why we have today mobile phones, tablets, constant engagement, constant fragmentation, because the attention is split over so many activities of the working mind in this case. So you could even be walking down the street, but thinking about work does not mean the working mind is engaged, because you may be thinking about what I have to do in the future to prevent something from happening and all that. So it's a very tricky thing, the mind. We are talking about the still mind, and just to see how it operates. Yes, the working mind is in the moment. The working mind is in vertical time. The thinking mind, which is into the past or the future, is in horizontal time. So with this teaching, this is getting disengaged, which is going left or right, is getting disengaged. Therefore, witnessing starts happening more and more. Witnessing your own thoughts starts happening. What do you say, Vanuja? He asked you
how you will be treated, how your parents will treat, how will be your growth structure. I said, no, I didn't. He said, when you grow up, the more ego power that gets strengthened, and then you think of responsibility. It's like there's something that you have to do. And I said that you have taken the load of everything. It has to happen through yourself.
Yes. That's what Ramana Maharshi would say. You know, we've gotten onto the train and we are still carrying our luggage on our shoulders. We are not keeping it down. We burdened ourselves with everything. Life has become a burden. It is like, again, it was, I think, Ramana Maharshi who talked about the Gopurams in the South Indian temples, you know, which are made to, they are carved into the structure to hold the pillars. So it's as if they think that they are holding the pillars up. They are made to think that way. That is the Maya. We think that the world depends on us and what we do. You know, this train mentioned reminds me of something very funny I read. Have you all heard of Meher Baba? The spiritual master Meher Baba. So he was quite naughty in his own way. So one day he and his disciples were taking a train somewhere in Gujarat or what, I don't know. And they were enjoying themselves in their compartment. But every time a station approached, it was very crowded. And they didn't want that whole crowd flooding the compartment. So he came up with an idea. He said, every time we come close to a station, I will lie down, you know, where you come into the compartment, and you all put a white cloth over me and start crying. So then nobody would come into the compartment, and once they would leave that station, then again they'd be happy. And the whole journey, they did it like that. See, that's the lightness of being. And to one person, because everyone was so wanting to serve the master, no? So one person would say, Baba, do you want the window up? So he would say yes. So he would raise the window up. So the air would come in through the train window. Then someone else would say, Baba, do you want the window down? He would say yes. So he puts, and then those people would start fighting with each other. One becomes lighter because you know that God knows best. You know that if something is not meant to happen, it won't happen. No matter how hard you have tried, you will still try. You will do your best. But you note that the results are not in your control. You will not blame yourself or label yourself a failure, as you were conditioned to do. And if something is meant to happen, it will happen. You start living with that understanding, and these labels start dropping away. Success and failure and pride and arrogance and guilt and shame, those labels start dropping away. This was meant to happen. This was not meant to happen. That's it. Life becomes simple. We walk with labels on our foreheads, and we put a label on everyone else. That is what we have done. This person is like this, we put the label there. That person is like that, we put the label there. France had a leper king called Baldwin. He had to wear a mask because he had leprosy, and he ruled the kingdom wearing the mask. We have no kingdoms to rule, but we still wear not one mask, but we wear many masks. One mask I'll wear for Roshni, one mask I'll wear for Vanuja, one I'll wear for Dipesh, one I'll wear for Asha. Isn't it? Big collection of masks. So that others may like me, this is what I should be like, this is what I should look like. Be as you are, as God has made you. That is called the third eye vision. It's no special, magical, experiential living. That is called living with the eye of singularity. You stop making these distinctions which these... That is called living with a third eye open. Living in the dimension of duality, which is black and white, rich and poor, up and down, high and low, front and back. Living, knowing that is the design of life, but with the knowing that all there is consciousness. Someone had come once to my mother's meditation group, which is here. I was sitting there, and it's the glass door, so she was probably thinking about something. She didn't see it, so she walked in. So to lighten up things, I mean, you know, we gave her ice cube and all, and I said, you know, who knows, maybe your third eye got open. So she got very upset. She said, me? My third eye was always open. I said, I hope it didn't get closed then. My third eye is always open. See, this is what the me does. How dare you tell me that my third eye has got open, it was always open. The me comes in through the back door. That is the nature of the me. You have come before. Okay. What's your name?
Alok.
Alok. From where have you come?
I've come from Pune, but I'm at 10 Slim Thane.
Okay, okay. And you have come before?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you from? And you saw some videos or read some books? Or?
Yeah. Yeah?
Lots of stuff sounds like too much stuff.
Yeah. So I've been following it for.
But it's nice because if one enjoys it, one can immerse oneself in it, isn't it? And what do you do?
I work
And this helps with work? The teaching doesn't help with work? No? Really? At least it does something. It's meant to confuse, probably. Ramana Maharshi, I have read in one of his books, says whenever you work, you should tell yourself, it is not me doing the work, but the current which is doing the work through me. Consciousness. Not me doing the work. Though it's easier said than done, but he gave that pointer. And this is your first time?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Thane.
Oh, we have a... You all came together? Your friend?
Yes.
You're interested in this subject?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You've been meditating all this while, I think. No? Because your eyes have been closed. You all follow any particular teaching or?
I took sannyas from Osho about 10 years. That is one.
From the commune?
From the commune.
Okay.
And I've read Ramesh's all
books. Okay, okay.
I mean, I missed the chance to make 10 years ago.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And so that's.
That's the connection.
Practicing Kriya Yoga with the master.
Okay. That's part of the Babaji Kriya Yoga.
Yes.
There is a 3-day retreat which might be planned in December in Delhi. Once it is planned, it will be on the website in case anyone's interested in attending it.